I would like to go on a journey with you today. A journey back to the beginning. Not to the beginning of all things, but back to a beginning. Specifically, I would like to go back to the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. To that long list of names that composes chapter 1 of this Gospel. It is a long list of names. Most of them are extremely difficult to pronounce. Most of the names are obscure. They don't mean much to us. But some of them do have their own stories in Scripture of which we are very familiar. That list, it starts with Abraham and it ends with Joseph and Mary, the parents of Jesus. And embedded in that list is the name of King David. King David, from whose lineage the Messiah would come. It's in that first passage in Matthew's Gospel that he sets everything up. Matthew lets us know who Jesus is and from where he comes from. We might wonder why that's important. So let me put it to you like this. If you're from the east coast of Canada, a common question that some people ask to this day is this. Who's your father? The family name matters. It means something. It tells the individual asking the question something about you. Something about you and your history. Whether we like it or not, it causes them to form certain opinions about you, about your character, about your work ethic. In the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, this is what we are being set up for. This is what Matthew is preparing us for. Which brings us back to our passage today. Today's passage looks back to that beginning, considers itself in the present, and then it looks to the future. Within the narrative of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus will be dead within a week. For ourselves today, we're looking forward to Christmas, not Easter. And so this passage seems out of place, given our present time of year. However, within the Christian year, we are moving towards the end. The Christian year begins with Advent. So we are moving towards the end and a new beginning of sorts. The Christian year ends with Christ the King Sunday. And that also is what this passage is preparing us for. This passage is one of the final verbal sparring matches that Jesus has with the temple authorities. The next time that Jesus encounters them, they will arrest him. And it is Jesus at his best with them. I mean, have you ever watched a TV show or a movie and the main character is just so witty, so smart? They always know exactly what to say. They put everyone in their place and they handle the situation so calmly. I wish I had someone writing a script for me that I could do that. But that's Jesus here. They try to trap Jesus. They ask him, which is the greatest commandment under the law? Which of 613 laws is the greatest? Tried to trick him, to see if he would give one law preference over another. And in response, Jesus literally shames those who are present. Jesus responds by quoting the Shema, which is found in Deuteronomy 6. Shema, which is the Hebrew word for hear or listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Why does quoting this piece of scripture shame those who are present? Because this is the most basic and fundamental confession of Judaism. Those of the Jewish faith learn this passage first and foremost, right to this very day. 6-year-old children would have been able to answer that question. And then Jesus adds, and love your neighbor as yourself. We might wonder why Jesus adds this. Why Jesus decides to follow up with the answer. And it's simple, really. You can't love God without loving what God loves. Friends, this sets up everything. It is the core of Jesus' teaching. In these two sentences, Jesus summarizes everything. He does everything but put it in a box and wrap it in a bow for us. Let me put it to you like this. If I ask you what's the most important thing we can learn about God through Jesus Christ in Scripture, you might respond, as I was talking with the children this morning, that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It is a simple and yet sublime truth that transcends all other answers. In recognizing the truth of that statement, a truth that we find in a children's hymn, all other things are made clear for us. And then Jesus, he switches gears and he asks his own question. It's interesting to note the difference in the two questions. The first is one that was asked of Jesus, and any faithful person at the time should have been able to answer it. But Jesus' question, the question he asks, it leaves them puzzled and unable or perhaps unwilling to answer, for they questioned him no more. About the Messiah, Jesus asks, whose son is he? Or as we read this morning, whose descendant is he? David's, comes the expected reply. And no one would have answered differently. How then, Jesus asks, does David call the Messiah Lord? If David calls him Lord, how can he call him his son? And they asked him no more questions. Without saying it to them, Jesus had told them who he was, and they were having none of it. Jesus reminds them that the Messiah is indeed David's son, but he is also much more than David. He is the Son of God. The Messiah is much more than an earthly king who would lead Israel to overthrow the foreign occupying army of Rome. No, the Messiah is the Son of God, who comes not to overthrow a ruling army, but to overthrow the power of sin and evil in our lives, to show us a better way to live with one another. This is how Jesus, the Son of God, David's Lord, the Messiah, comes to rescue us by living out the Shema, by living out the command to love God with all his heart, his mind, and strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. The love and compassion of Jesus is so great that Jesus will take that command and fulfill it in a way that altered the course of history. Jesus fulfills this command in a way that changes our very lives. How? By dying on the cross. By rooting out sin and death. Sin and death are the enemies that Jesus will put under our feet. Not nations, not ethnic groups, but the enemies of all humanity. Sin itself and death, which sin ultimately brings. Jesus sees and knows that sin and death are at work in our world. He sees this in Israel in his day as he teaches in the temple. He sees it in the high priests who think they hold special status. And Jesus opposes the propping up of the status quo so much that he will launch into a full-blown attack on any attempt to prompt up such an institution. Friends, Jesus confronts sin all the way to the cross. And this is the ending that Matthew sets up for us in his gospel. A beginning that is founded on the understanding of Jesus Christ as our Messiah. And here at the middle, we see the convergence of that beginning and we move towards the climax that will see Jesus confront sin for our sake. Our gospel lesson today places us at the point where the message of Jesus, his purpose, is made clear for us. His critics are silenced. Jesus is revealed to us as Messiah, the Son of God, and we are asked to love him with all our hearts, all of our soul, all of our minds. And we are also to love others just as Jesus has loved us. Amen.